It's been too good to sort of have the annual visit and be with you today and just rejoice in what God is doing amongst you. And my earnest prayer is that God will really bless this chapter of his word in some way to every one of us tonight. If you've been feeling, well, I'm such an insignificant little person in Netley Christian Fellowship, who am I? Look at so-and-so with all their gift and ability. I hope that God will so bless you from his word tonight that you will go away saying, well, I do matter after all. I am significant in the body of Christ here. After Mike had read that passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, I think his words went something like this: we thank God for his word. And we do. But you can't thank God for your word, for his word rather, and ignore it. At least you shouldn't. So we come tonight to a chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, which sometimes, alas, has been a bit of a divisive chapter. I know years ago I felt, well, I'll give this chapter over to the Pentecostals, and surely it's not really saying anything to us. But certainly I changed my mind enormously on that. And I hope that it will be evident to all of us that for the fellowship here, there are some very important truths for us to take to heart from this important chapter. So with our Bibles open, would you join me in prayer as we ask God to speak into our lives and ministries tonight? Lord God, we so glad to be here. Thank you for the desire that you've given us. Lord, we know, as we saw this morning, that if left to ourselves, we certainly wouldn't be found on a lovely summer's evening like this, around the scriptures, seeking to exhort the Lord Jesus. But Father, thank you that this is what we desire to do. And Lord, we pray that as we look and examine this chapter, that there will be some very clear principles which you write into our minds, into our lives, and somehow our ministries will be enriched to your glory and to the blessing of your church here because of our attention to this passage of your word. Thank you, Lord, for what you purpose to do in and through each one of us tonight. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ is so wonderful, so profound, that you know that it takes a number of metaphors or pictures in the New Testament to describe it. We need all of them. But did you realize that the most used description of the Church of Christ is the body of Christ that we've been reading about tonight? That body here in Corinthians and in Romans is particularly referring to a local church of God's people, the body of Christ in Netley. When you come to Ephesians and Colossians, it seems the emphasis is more upon the global, the international, universal church to which we belong. We are part of this huge body of Christ. I don't know if you've meditated, dwelt upon this whole concept of the body of Christ recently. I want you to tonight. It really is a very wonderful thing, isn't it? Jesus Christ went back to heaven in the body that the Father gave him in the incarnation. He is there in heaven, in glory, enthroned, and one day we're going to see him. And the significance particularly, I guess, of the ascension is that really Jesus was saying to that little group of believers, and particularly in that instance to the apostles, I'm going and I'm leaving the job to you. But they were not going to be alone. In the grace of God, he who is the head of the body would be the one who was working in them and through them. And in union with Christ, that is our wonderful position tonight. Jesus is the head, no longer seen in the body that he was seen during the days of his incarnation here on earth, but seen and witnessed through the church, through his body in these days. It's the description of the church that certainly Paul uses more than any other. You feel this is a favourite with Paul. We've read one of the key passages about the body of Christ and about gifts for that body so that we minister to each other and build each other up in Christ. Other passages, if you haven't sort of looked at them recently, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, some verses in 1 Peter chapter 4, emphasizing the ministry, the gifts of all Christians within the body of Christ. I find verse 12 such an encouragement. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. And I want you particularly to notice the little sentence which comes then. I would have thought it would read, so it is with the church. Seems almost, doesn't it, the natural thing to follow. But look how the Spirit of God has given it to us through Paul. So it is with Christ. The union of the body with Christ, the head. Christ exercising his life-giving ministry through the body, through people like us. And if you go through that latter part of the chapter, and the chapter's really in two parts, isn't it? The first part stresses more the unity of the body, and the second part, the diversity of the body. How very different. All the different parts. It's really saying to us, don't sort of look at each other and say, I wish, well, if you like, in Paul's language to help us understand, I wish I was a hand. I wish I was a foot. I wish I was an eye. What God wants us to discover is what is our personal ministry within the body of Christ. It's emphasizing so very much how dependent we are upon one another. We very, very much need each other if we're going to grow. That's why coming together like this is so important. That's why enjoying New Testament fellowship, sharing what we have in common in Christ, is so very, very important. Our growth is strongly related to our other brothers and sisters to whom we are joined. So, although I'm going to emphasize particularly the first part of the chapter, it's all within the context of the church being a body, the body. God has arranged the parts in the body. I like that verse too. God has arranged the parts in the body. I'm tempted to say to you, just look around. Just look around and say, yes, these are all the parts in the body of Christ at Netley. There is a temptation in some churches to say, oh dear me, you know, we want some younger parts to the body. Or in some churches, we need some more mature and senior people within the body of Christ. I think we have to learn as churches that what our ministry is determined by the people and the gifts that God has given to us at any one time. Have you made a mistake that I fear I must have made over the years in my ministry, that you have a brilliant idea? Occasionally I have one of those, I'm sure you do. And you say, ah, that's what we've got to do. And then, of course, you wake up to the fact you've got to find somebody to do it. And I think a passage like this is really saying we almost always must start with people. We need to pray that God will give to people a passion, a burden, a desire, and of course a gifting, a spiritual gifting for the ministry that's going to be exercised within the body of Christ. What I want to say to you tonight from this chapter is this: the key to our personal ministry and service as individuals and as a church are the gifts and ministry of the Holy Spirit. The key all the time. Do you remember, I don't know how long ago it was now, the years go so quickly, but Estelle Morris, who was a minister in the cabinet for some time and then gave up her job, a remarkable statement from a politician. This is what, do you remember what she said? I wasn't up to the job. It was all too much for me. Doesn't sound like Westminster, does it? But that's what she said. We respect her for it. And it's very, very easy, even in church life, to be, as it were, the square peg. To be in a place that this isn't really what God wants of me and is equipping me in the Holy Spirit to do. Let me just illustrate this a little and the importance of this. I remember a while ago meeting a young person who was just finishing her Bible school training. And she came out, well, I actually said to her, and what are you going to do when you've finished? And she sort of ummed and ahed of it and said, well, that's the big question. I don't really know. So I find myself, which you won't be surprised, sort of saying to her, well, have you discovered your spiritual gifting? Our spiritual gifting in Christ through the Spirit is so, so important. I remember hearing a retired missionary, if missionaries ever do retire, but he'd been around quite a long time, and I remember hearing him say, over those years, I have been interviewed by many groups of Christians and leaders as I've changed direction in the nature of my ministry. And then he went on and he said this, I cannot remember ever being asked by any of these interviewing panels, what are your spiritual gifts? It's something strangely we are prone, perhaps particularly in our constituency, fail to ask. I wonder how many leadership teams, how many groups of elders, when they're calling a pastor, a minister, whenever they're going to call him, I wonder how many of them say, now, Andy, let's think about your spiritual gifts. What has God shown to you of your spiritual gifting? What are the areas of ministry that you're well aware that the hand of the Lord is upon you when you exercise that ministry? Spiritual gifts are all important. You can have a theological degree, you can have a charismatic personality, you can be into all the courses and all the stuff that you can to prepare for ministry, but without the recognition of spiritual gifting, I want us to ask tonight, what really is the value of all those other things? Let me just give you a definition of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are special attributes given by God to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace, for use within the body of Christ. Shall I read that again? Spiritual gifts are special attributes given by God to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for use within the body of Christ. If that is true, it raises quite a lot of issues. I think it means that over the last, 20, 25 years, God has been doing, in a way, a new thing, I really do believe, within the body of Christ. It's something which has affected me as a Christian pastor, because in my earlier days, as was expected by the church, I was very much the minister. I think they thought that I had every spiritual gift that God was giving, and very likely I behaved as if I thought I had them all as well. And in Sunday worship, for example, I think as I look back, one did everything. Yeah. You expected to. What a change there has been. This morning when I was asked to lead the service, I was just reminded of that. I said to myself, that'll be a great joy to lead the service. When you have a roving ministry like me, I find that it's quite a rare thing to be asked to lead the service. And I'm not complaining. I'm very happy to concentrate on the preaching. So that was a little treat this morning. But I found I felt I'd be very uncomfortable doing everything. So I said to Andy Rossett or Chris or somebody, would you please ask someone to read the scripture and someone to take the intercessory prayers? Simply because I just wanted there to be some participation, some sharing in that which I think more reflects the way that God would have us to do it. I think it was John Stott in one of his books who says that the 16th century was the rediscovery of the priesthood of all believers. The 20th century marked the rediscovery of the ministry of all believers. Now, having been brought up in the Christian Brethren, I ought to have known that, of course. But I drifted very much, I guess, from that position almost unconsciously into a very different style and type of ministry. And I'm so glad that God has helped me, although there have been struggles over the years, to really grasp what I trust is clearly the teaching of this passage. So let's think together for a few moments about these spiritual gifts that God gives. Perhaps I should say this, because I don't know quite what's going through your minds. I feel very emphatic about this, that this is an area where I'm sure that within a congregation like this, we'd probably have some different understanding of how many gifts God is giving today. And if you think that's good, David's going to give us the answer to that. He isn't. I believe in my heart, and I've sought to exercise this, to be absolutely open to God, because what we're going to see is that this is God's prerogative, not mine. I've no position to demand grace gifts from God. That's his prerogative. But the importance of the principle of spiritual gifting, that's my burden tonight. That's what I want to leave you with. That's what I want you to go away and to be thinking about. What is my spiritual gifting? What is my part in the body of Christ at Netley? So let's just learn a few things from this passage about spiritual gifts. Verse 1, Paul says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers. I assume that this is one of the questions that the Corinthians have been asking Paul. Paul's been dealing with a series of their questions, isn't he, and giving answers. Now we'll come, says Paul, to this question of spiritual gifts. But it's important to notice the word that he's using. You could interpret it supernatural. They are spiritual gifts. They are bestowed by the Holy Spirit. And they are something distinctive from our natural gifts. We've all got natural gifts, haven't we? We all have weaknesses. We all have strengths. Life is much smoother if we work to our strengths. And sometimes I think in spiritual gifting, the spiritual gift is not entirely removed from the natural ability that God has given to us. That seems to be often the case. But it is something quite distinctive. I used to feel when I was ministering up in Cheam in South London, where we had quite a lot of men and women who were working in the city and were quite whiz kids up there. I used to say to myself, because the tendency is, if you found this, that churches, when they come to vote for an elder or a deacon, are prone to put more emphasis on, this man's professional position, you know. What a gift he is to us. But I realize so much that the person who may be, as I say, quite a whiz kid, climbing the ladder rapidly in the city, if you let him loose, say, in finance or in administration within the church, without that spiritual plus, that person could be a disaster. There is a spiritual plus. So that's the first thing. It is something supernatural. Praise God for that. And then verses 4 and 5, there are obviously different gifts, but all of God. Interesting how the whole Trinity is referred to here as God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit ministering into our lives. There are different kinds of gifts. There are various gifts. The trouble, of course, with the Corinthians at that time was that they were obsessed with the more spectacular. And you and I could possibly still find groups of brothers and sisters who still have Corinthian tendencies. And in the New Testament, I don't know how many spiritual gifts you found, but writers on spiritual gifts may well tell us there are, 20, 25? You may find a few more. An abundance of spiritual gifts. I ask myself, to what extent does God, in his sovereignty, in distributing these gifts, give them according to the needs of the church at that time, and perhaps to some extent the need of the community at that time, as he builds up his church within it? But there are various gifts. Might there be gifts for today which were not so apparent in the early church? And I can quite imagine, because the scene was so different, that there were gifts within the early church which are not so apparent today. To begin with, we have the written, completed word of God. It's a very different situation. But I'm pleading again for the acceptance of the principle of spiritual gifting. I'm helped by sort of thinking of those New Testament gifts, and I suppose at times thinking of my own ministry and responsibility, particularly years ago in a pastorate. And to say that I find a summary, if you like, of gifts, of spiritual gifts. Gifts to know, gifts to do, and gifts to speak. I think, to me, that's a fair summing up of New Testament gifts. I include gifts to know, which might seem to us a little more spectacular than gifts to do and gifts to speak, because sometimes I really do believe, from my own experience, that we are cast upon God with his perfect knowledge to help us in our pastoral ministries, especially when there's so much that we don't know about the person to whom we're ministering. And we need God in his grace to give us some insight, some direction. Call it what you will. I don't go around personally talking about some gift of knowledge. If you do, okay. I'm just saying that there is a ministry of the Spirit of God, and I believe that there may be those within his church to whom he gives a particular ability to discern and to know and to understand. And all those gifts and ministries are ministries that we can really rejoice in. Then thirdly, verse 4, they are grace gifts. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God. There are different kinds of gifts. The word there, many of you will know, is charismata. The root of that word is grace. They are grace gifts. They're gifts that are given at God's initiative in our lives. In chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul says an interesting thing about the gifts there in the church in Corinth. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. Incidentally, he goes on, as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. It seems to be, to me, he is saying that as you wait, however long you have to wait, there are gifts for the ministry of my body here on earth. They are grace gifts. I don't deserve it. Time and time again, I have marveled that God should have in any way set me apart to be a preacher of God's word. What a huge privilege. Totally undeserved. And yet I believe with all my heart that is what God has desired and equipped me for over the years. What is your gift? Are you amazed that God should use you in this way? God is so good. The grace gifts. I'm sad how, in a way, how that word charismatic has got used in more recent years. Because these gifts that God gives to all his people, whatever particular network of churches they may be in, are gifts of grace that we don't deserve, but he chooses in love to impart to us. If someone were to say to you, this might sound a little bit provocative, but if someone were to say to you, is Netley Christian Fellowship a charismatic church? I wonder what your answer would be. I wouldn't mind saying, some of you say, oh, no, certainly not. No, no, no. If somebody said to me, is Netley Christian Fellowship a charismatic church? My answer would be, from a biblical perspective, I certainly hope so. Would you agree? The grace gifts that God gives. Verse 5, they are gifts for service. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. In other words, these are gifts not to give me an ego trip or for me to boast, look at my ministry. They are a grace to begin with. But they are gifts to bless and enrich the lives of others. That's why we need to encourage the use of God-given gifts in our churches and assemblies, are they not? It would be a sad thing, and I think this happens in many of our churches. There are Christians today who are frustrated in a way. They have reason to think that God has given them a particular ministry which he's shown his approval by the way in which he has blessed it, perhaps elsewhere, and there's little, if any, opportunity of them exercising and using it in the body of Christ locally to which they belong. They are service gifts. You remember the interesting passage in Ephesians 4. Those particular gifts of ministry which God gives to prepare God's people for works of service. They are service gifts. And then verse 6, they are energized gifts. The word here is the word from which we get our word energy. There are different kinds of working. And this is good news, isn't it? Sometimes we feel so pathetically weak. Maybe if you have the sort of ministry that God has given to me, you've worked hard in all your preparation. And you feel so weak, really, and so powerless. Struggling. But it's good to know this. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. I like to illustrate it in this way. I've had a few times over the years some frustrations at Christmas when we've given our grandchildren a particular gift and discovered on Christmas morning, I guess some of you have had this experience, wow, it looked so good, but we forgot to get the batteries. You go charging down to the local garage with the hope they might have some batteries to save the day. Really, this is what God is saying. With your gifting, there is a spiritual energy. As you step out by faith to serve God and to use the gift that God has given to you, trust him for that energy, for the fullness of the Spirit of God. Call it what you will from the scriptures. But there is a strength and imparting beyond your own. Now, if we were to have a little testimony meeting, I guess some of you could get on your feet, couldn't you? Those of you who teach the children, or whatever your ministry is, and to say, yes, I know that's true. Many a time I've got down here on a Sunday morning and thought, oh, how am I going to handle this? And as you've opened up the Word of God, as you've used the gifting that God has given you, there's been a strength somehow beyond your own. And you've come away sort of saying, well, that wasn't really me. God stepped in. God came to my rescue. There was a spiritual energy for which I thank God. I suppose Paul is reflecting that in Romans 15:18, which is a verse which has often blessed me. He says to the Romans, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. That's a lovely verse, isn't it? Because that is the secret of ministry. It is God working through us. It isn't all my ability. It's not my strength. It is a work of God. Which brings us very helpfully to verse 7. They are visible gifts, or Paul calls them here manifestations of the Spirit. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. In other words, as we use these gifts that God has given to us for our ministry within the body, we can be sure of evidence of the Spirit of God using us and blessing other people. In other words, if you say, well, I think God has given me the gift of teaching the Word of God, you would expect when you did it that people got blessed and taught and minds were open to understand God's Word. Something was happening. One of the things that can concern me about so much of the Church of Jesus Christ is how we can, week by week, just go over our routine, almost our ritual of ministry, and little seems to happen, little evidence of the Spirit of God using that gift to the blessing of other lives, and we don't lose any sleep about it. Perhaps we get too much personal satisfaction out of using the gift that blesses me, but doesn't seem to be changing the lives of others. Visible manifestations of the Spirit of God. Are you getting excited? Isn't this wonderful? Every Christian here, without exception, whatever our age, however long you've been a Christian, is caught up in this. God has a ministry for you. And then verse 11, they are sovereign gifts, or gifts given according to God's sovereignty and choice. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The fact that this whole context in the beginning of chapter 14 is an interesting verse. We are allowed to eagerly desire gifts which will bless and fit the needs of the body of Christ wherever he's placed us at any given time. Surely means that it's okay to say, Lord, here I am available to you. I'm not quite sure what my ministry is, but please help me to grasp how I am to prove you in ministry and service within this church. But at the end of the day, it is God with his perfect knowledge of us who determines what our ministry should be. And then let me say from verses 29 and 30, do you remember those series of questions at the end of the chapter? You know the answer to every one of those questions is no. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. They are personal gifts. No one has all the gifts. I think often God gives us more than one gift. I have felt particularly that, say, men in Christian eldership have several spiritual giftings, which makes their work fruitful and a benefit to the body of Christ. But it is God who determines. And even within a leadership team like that, haven't you noticed? I don't know how it is at Netley. But God sometimes brings such an interesting little variety of people together. Very different in every way. And it is important for each of them to know their spiritual strengths, their gifts, ways in which God will bless them. A situation may arise where within a team it will be a very natural thing to say, Bill, I don't know if there's a Bill in your team, Bill, it might be Mike, whoever it is, that sounds like you. That's an area where God seems to use you. And you could move into that situation with confidence in the Spirit of God who has equipped you for that. Personal gifts. What a sad thing if we are not using the gifts that God wants to bless us with. In the month of January, have you noticed this? Very often in the newspapers, sometimes these free things that come through the door uninvited, there's an advert for something and there's the little words, unused gift. I often wonder what that might mean. Somebody who's terribly unappreciative for the sounds of it, or maybe they've already got one. But it's an unused gift. We'd like to get rid of it. I must ask you tonight, in the light of this passage and this truth in God's word, any unused gifts? When we come into the fellowship of the church, it's not just to get, is it? Very easy for us as Christians to behave like the world at large, really. I go to church to get. If I don't get what I'm looking for on Sunday, I'll try the church down the road. That sort of attitude. It's not just to get, we do receive. It's important. God's plan for our spiritual growth is that we should be in the body of Christ like this. But it is to give. We have something to give to the glory of God. My own experience is that if you and I are to discover our spiritual gifting, very often we need the help of someone else. I would love to think some of you are going away tonight provoked to consider as never before, what is my gifting within the body of Christ here? And it's very, very likely, I think, that you will need to get along someone, beside someone who knows you and loves you enough to be completely honest and open, loves you enough, if necessary, to say, John, I know that you really sincerely beaver away doing that, but I'm not sure that that is really your gifting from the Lord. Have you thought about this or that? Or they may say to you, do you realize that when you do that, it seems as if God is at work. There's something, dare I use that word, something supernatural about your ministry. God is in it. And affecting lives through it. So where are we at, each of us? I can only ask you just to examine and re-examine God's word. I can only beg of you to personally seek direction from God as to what is your ministry here. I can only say to the leaders of the church, do encourage all the body of Christ here to be serving in the fullness of the Spirit of God and used of Him. Oh, the importance of that. And if you feel a bit of a square peg, you've been beavering away at something, and it doesn't seem to express any manifestation of the Spirit of God. In fact, you almost dread the next chapter. Perhaps it's time to rethink with the help of a leader or someone who knows you and loves you in Christ. Just where would God have you to be? Let's join together in prayer, shall we? And let's just be quiet in God's presence for a few moments, and I'd like you to make a response to God's word and to this particular truth of ministry within the body of Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice once more in your ascension to glory ascension within that body that you were given. And thank you that you took what might seem to us a huge risk when you left your ongoing work and ministry to a new body, even to the church, your church. How we thank you, Lord Jesus, that every Christian here, each of us is in union with you. We are joined to you. We thank you for all the evidence that you are continuing to work in this world. There's an ongoing ministry, and that ministry is exercised through your body, through us in this place. Lord, forgive us if we've seemed to have shown so much inferiority complex, sort of before you, Lord, saying, who am I? I don't feel that I've got anything to offer. Look at all these other wonderful Christians here. When, Lord, each of us matters to you. And, Lord, help us to take this seriously. And, Lord, my prayer is that you will truly enrich the life of this church, of this particular local body of yours. And, Lord, there may be lovely manifestations of the Spirit of God. A real awareness of a spiritual energy and power beyond our own. Lord, we pray that we may in every sense be word and spirit people. We love your word, but we long to know more of the ministry of your spirit through it and through us. So, Lord, may that be used to make an impact in this whole neighborhood, that the watching world may observe what God can do with ordinary people like us who are at your disposal in these critical days. Lord, help us to appreciate each other, not to ignore or downgrade other people's ministries. May we pray for each other that in all that we do, it may be in the fullness of your spirit and not something which is simply fleshly. We think of that situation in Corinth. So much that must have displeased you in spite of an abundance of gifts, perhaps the neglect of the fruit of the spirit. Lord, help us to be biblically balanced Christians. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for choosing us and using us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.